I'm back. It's Raleigh, James, and about 7.5 years ago, I think I said, well, we'll see you in a couple days. And, well, all I can say is what I've learned from coast to coast is time is linear only on the Earth plane. So someplace it probably was only a couple days. And actually, that's the heart of what we'll be talking about later tonight, that fraction of time here that seems like hours to those who have left their body in a near-death experience. It's the cover story of Newsweek about how little scientists know about the physical process of dying, let alone the spiritual. So we'll talk to Jeffrey Long, who's a radiation oncologist who heads the Near Death Experience Research Foundation, which boasts the largest NDE website in the world. So we'll get to that. But a lot is going on in the land of the living. And you know, 7.5 years ago when I was on the air, it was right before Art Bell left the first time. And I'm sorry to say now it's after he's left the fourth time. And about the only good news is he's not gone forever. We'll still have him in specials and ghost to ghost and things like that. But it was somewhat bittersweet when they called me and said, Art's gone. Would you like to step in? So here tonight to keep you company, and hopefully you'll do likewise for me. And a big thanks to George, who's been ably holding down the fort ever since Art left. So as has become tradition with Mr. Norrie, headlines. Heavy rains continue throughout the South, where a storm was responsible for stopping a passenger train in Texas, 75 miles west of San Antonio. Though the train didn't lose power, high water covering the track stranded over 170 passengers on a westbound Amtrak at 9 a.m. Saturday morning. At 7:30 that evening, buses arrived to drive the passengers almost 500 miles to El Paso, where they boarded another westbound train. Rescue crews throughout Texas pulled 50 people to safety from floodwaters due to the saturated ground from 3 weeks of rainwater. Bexar County alone, which contains San Antonio, had 20 to 30 road closures and over two dozen calls for high water rescue. Flooding also continues unrelentingly in the United Kingdom, which has been hammered with rain since June 12th. 180 people in St. Louis can now tell you exactly how high the Gateway Arch actually is. They were trapped atop of it Saturday night when the power went out before 9 o'clock. Both the South and North trams, containing 40 people each, as well as 100 people stranded at the top, were evacuated, many having walked down the 630-foot-tall arch. Evacuation of the South tram, where one of the nine cables may have broken, took 2 hours. Power was eventually restored to the North tram, and passengers were able to ride down the length of the arch. China is fighting back about the almost daily U.S. media reports of defective imports. China's embassy in Washington this week released a statement warning against, quote, groundless smear attacks, unquote, and said China is working responsibly to address concerns over the numerous recent food safety issues. While China claims that over 99% of its imports meet quality standards, Americans are increasingly concerned over reports that only 1% are actually tested. Chastising the American media coverage, the statement also said that such quality problems were not unique to China and claimed that problematic imports such as toxic toothpaste, tainted seafood, pet foods, and the recall of children's toys were isolated cases and, quote, hardly avoidable, unquote, amid huge and rapidly growing bilateral trade. But after claiming diethylene glycol as a sweetener in toothpaste was entirely safe to use and sharply criticizing the U.S. FDA for banning such imports, Beijing has reversed itself, saying that the substance would soon be banned from all Chinese-made toothpaste and announcing that the plant which was mislabeling the commonly used antifreeze chemical as glycerin has been closed. That mislabeling cost the lives of at least 100 people in Panama who unknowingly consumed it in cough medicine. And according to China's central news agency, in Changsha City in Hunan province, residents are consuming 3,000 kilograms of wild snakes daily. The snakes are legal to eat and are sold in cages along West Chang Street, which is also the largest seafood market in town. The problem is the resulting scarcity of snakes, which, with the recent floods in the province that caused Dongting Lake to rise, have led to as many as 1 billion rats relocating away from the lake to the city, resulting in rodent terror. Experts are concerned that the disease, as well as the damage to riverbanks and crops, will result. One official suggestion was that residents might consider consuming the rats. Jailed border agents Ignacio Ramos and Jose Campion are getting more support from Congress after Senators Dianne Feinstein and John Cornyn asked the president to commute the lengthy sentences for both agents under the belief that the punishment was too severe as the wrong laws were applied in this case. Comes word that Colorado Representative Tom Tancredo will offer an amendment to an annual spending bill in the House, preventing Bush administration from using any funds to enforce those sentences, which, if adopted, would lead to the release of the agents. President Bush's reaction continues to be firm support for, quote, a dear friend of mine, unquote, U.S. Attorney Johnny Sutton, as he refused to promise a pardon when asked to do so at a forum in Nashville this past week. The biggest news of the weekend was the anticipated and amazingly successful promotion of the release of the seventh and final Harry Potter book. But the question for booksellers is how to keep the momentum going. Potter has spawned a multi-million-dollar industry, resulting in new readers and new dollars. Each volume created a notable spike in book sales. While publishers and sellers alike agree that the industry will continue as ever, many quietly wonder, will teen readership and their dollars continue to grow now that the Hogwarts Express has pulled away from platform 9 3/4 for the last time? Teachers have been quick to warn students that what they put on MySpace.com is neither private nor temporary, but a Pompano Beach High School band instructor missed the message. The 31-year-old teacher's personal website on MySpace extolled his alcoholism, depression, and drug consumption in profane terms, accompanied by inappropriate photographs, according to the administrative complaint seeking to fire him, which also noted the page was not kept private, a MySpace option, thus easily allowing students to view it. When you think of road rage, what usually comes to mind is the isolated, insolent driver. Not so in Southern California, where highways have been shut down for virtually everything. Wildfires, mudslides, earthquakes, police chases, and now mass road rage. Construction workers on Highway 138 near Wrightwood, toiling on a road widening project, have been subjected to everything from death threats to flying food tossed by motorists upset at delays. The area is now home to 20,000 daily commuters, and when it was announced that the road would be open only for rush hour traffic, passing in one direction at a time with escort vehicles, one commuter called and said he would climb a water tower to shoot workers. After verbal assaults, BB gun shots, and the occasional attempt at running over the workers, among other attacks, the road is now closed entirely until the project is completed. No word on how the unruly drivers are handling the detour, which adds an extra half hour at a minimum to each trip. While animal cruelty stories in America are revolving around the Atlanta Falcons player involved in dogfighting, in the Netherlands, one of the world's largest advertisers is apologizing for commercials showing a dog being electrocuted. Chrysler Group apologizes for the ad aimed at the Dutch market. Created by advertising giant BBDO, the ad for the Dodge Nitro shows the dog being electrocuted after urinating on one of the wheels. As the animal goes up in flames, the tagline, "Charged with adrenaline," appears. While the inappropriate treatment was actually fictional, no dog was hurt, and the ads were designed for the internet intended to be edgier, Chrysler's statement condemns them as going beyond the bounds of good taste. Hailed as the first study of its kind, research on how consumers of both the U.S. and Canadian healthcare systems compare them has been released. The bottom line? Americans living in Canada prefer the U.S. healthcare system for speed and quality, but applaud the cost in the Canadian system. The 310 participants were Americans living in Canada, mostly in Vancouver, Calgary, and Toronto, for between 2 and 5 years. Half had family incomes of more than $100,000 a year, and 58% held master's degrees or higher. They strongly preferred the U.S. system for emergencies, hospitalization, diagnostic services, timeliness, and quality. However, they rate Canada higher in access to drug therapy. Family physicians were rated virtually equally. For the most part, their criticisms of the Canadian system were the same as the Canadians had, especially with regard to wait times. Wait times were seen as the largest negative of the Canadian system, while quality of care was seen as the most positive feature of the U.S. system. This, too, from Canada. Parents of infants following the law and putting their babies in car seats while driving may be following the law of unintended consequences. Very young babies face a small risk of sudden death when they're seated, according to a Canadian study, which covered 17 deaths of babies under 1 year old in seats in Quebec. The risk is greater to children under 1 month. As has been widely reported, Tammy Faye Messner has died. Perhaps one of the most flamboyant televangelists, many saw her as a clown in heavy makeup, recalling her antics on the PTL Club, including the tales of her air-conditioned doghouse, later found to be allegedly paid for by the donations of followers. Those who were close to her saw her as someone with strength, character, and belief. All agreed she was never dull. Tammy and Jim Baker were charter members of Pat Robertson's 700 Club, appearing as kiddie show hosts on CBN before co-founding Trinity Broadcasting, TBN, with friends Jan and Paul Crouch. The couple then founded PTL in Charlotte in the mid-70s, first circulating tapes of the program before satellite delivery was available. In the 80s, amid accusations of financial improprieties of the PTL Club and its lavish Heritage USA facility and theme park, and the admission of an affair with Secretary Jessica Hahn, Jim Baker was convicted and sentenced to prison. After their divorce, Tammy Faye married Roe Messner, a church architect who was the contractor for Heritage USA. She reemerged on television in the 90s in a number of improbable roles, including one on VH1's Surreal Life. Tammy Faye Messner was 65. And finally, Fifi has died. The oldest chimpanzee in Australia was 60. She'd been suffering from arthritis lately and was known to enjoy a cup of chamomile tea daily. Thursday, zookeepers were concerned as she remained in bed. They provided her with comforts while other chimps visited. She died peacefully in the afternoon. While the average life expectancy of a chimp is about 45, Cheetah of Tarzan fame is still with us at 75. Wonder if Fifi had a near-death experience. We probably won't find that out later, but we will find a lot out about that. And bottom line is, for the next remainder of the hour, we've got open lines. West of the Rockies, 800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 800-825-5033. First-time caller, 818-501-4721. Wild card, 818-501-4109. And the international line at 800-893-0903. Got that? There's going to be a quiz later. I'm Raleigh James on Coast to Coast AM. And we're back. It's a little odd because I'm not really hearing what I need to be hearing at the same time. So if I sound disjointed, well, actually, that's a great excuse for the fact I am disjointed. But nonetheless, hopefully you're hearing everyone's a winner. I thought a little hot chocolate would be nice, nice to start the show. But, you know, interestingly, what I didn't know when I had said to Dan, hey, I want to hear everyone's a winner, was the fact that it's the perfect lead-in for a great story out of Roswell, no aliens involved, though the folks at Roswell Honda would probably prefer them. It turns out that everyone is a winner. Roswell Honda sent out 50,000 scratch-off tickets to residents, and it turns out that all of them were winners. Yeah, each of them got $1,000. Now, apparently it was a typographical error by Atlanta-based Force Events Direct Marketing, who, as you can imagine, are showing up in town this this coming week. That's right. And they're apologizing for any inconvenience. And I bet they're praying to God they've got good E&O insurance. As far as the dealership, they're taking the names of the people who show up, because everybody who got one of the tickets was a winner. And they're saying they'll all be invited back to the dealership after we find out what's going to happen. I have a feeling that what's going to happen is Force Events Direct Marketing is going to be doing some paying out. So much for everyone's a winner. All right, I am Raleigh James. It is Coast to Coast AM, and we are, you know, it's so odd, and I gotta share this with you. Whenever you're doing a show with somebody, you do all the things in advance that you can do to do the tests and make sure that everything's working and all those kind of things. And you have all the confidence in the world it is. And then invariably, yeah, talk about the law of unintended consequences. Something comes along and you're saying, I wasn't expecting that. And so indeed, as I welcome my first caller, the question in my mind is, am I going to hear him? Let's see. Is Rick in Nevada? Are you there?
Yeah, how you doing tonight?
All right, oh man, hearing your voice is the nicest thing that happened to me in the last 22 minutes.
getting over a chest cold here. I'm sitting out in my yard drinking some coffee, and my wife and I see this light in the sky, like every like between like 10 and 2 in the morning, and it looks like a it's not a plane, it's not a shuttle, it's not a planet, and we've been seeing this for about 3 months now, and it's been seen in Arizona, California, in Nevada, and there was a little extra paper one day saying it was kind of weather testing, but we don't believe it. It's not part of the constellation or the moon or North Star. It's really strange.
Well, the bottom line is it's definitely a UFO to you because you can't identify it. But have you talked to other people, you know, at the risk of sounding crazy, of course, but have you talked to other people and asked if they've seen it?
Yeah, our neighbors across the street technically think it's a star, you know. But my wife and I have it on tape, and I did a close-up on it. My camera, and it turns into this, like, energy ball.
Wow.
I'm thinking about sending it off to York there. And
you should. I'm sure George would love to see it, and maybe Lex could get it up on the website.
Yeah, it's really different.
Yeah. Yeah, well, good for you. Yeah, and the fact that you've actually got evidence, you know, should the men in the white coats want to have a conversation, you can say, here, look at this first, and by all means, send it to the website. And Rick, thanks for calling. All right, we got Clarence in Oklahoma City.
Hello, Raleigh. It's first time I've ever called into the show because I figured like, well, now I could get in.
Yeah, that's good enough.
Welcome you back because I've listened for 15 years now.
Oh, man. So you
and
remember.
And I remember the last time you were on.
Yeah, right. And I'll be right back.
I'm serious. I remember.
Yeah.
And just keep doing what you're doing, you know. Don't, you know, just keep right on going on there, because I think this show needs a, well, I don't want to sound, a distaff touch. Does distaff mean anything to you, you know?
Well, I am known to be presiding over the lunatic fringe, if that's where you're going.
Well, yes, it needs a feminine touch, basically.
Oh, well. Well,
that's
I'll try.
Thing, you know, and... And over the years, you only hear on these kind of shows, you just hear the, well, it's nice, listen to men, but, you know, men at night, you know, like me, I go to bed with my radio, so I'd like to hear a feminine voice.
Yeah, but if you go to sleep with me, who are you going to wake up with?
Well, now that's a good question.
That could be very ugly.
Yeah, I'd just be, well, who knows? But
yeah.
At any rate, I was going to make a whole big dissertation about some things about New World Order stuff and mm-hmm. that kind of stuff. But after that, I just want to just welcome you to the show and say that, you know, I've never called it. Like I said, I've listened to Art since he started this thing, almost.
And I brought you out. How about that? Well, Clarence, I'll...
You got me out here to call. And
how about that?
And that's one of the great things that you can do. And you keep it up, and you keep going, and we'll just... I will be listening.
Thanks, Clarence. I sure appreciate the call. That's so nice. How nice. I always appreciate when I get people to call. Now, if I can get them to buy something. All right, so we've got Blair in Arizona. Hello, Blair.
Hi, Raleigh. How are you doing tonight?
All right. How about your bad self, Blair?
I tell you, I saw Adam Sandler's new movie, I Pronounce You Chuck and Larry.
Yes.
And I'm sort of a Beatle fan, so if I were to compare it to a progression of Beatle albums, I'd say it's Adam Sandler's Rubber Soul.
Oh, and you know, of all the Beatle albums, that was my favorite.
Yeah, that was the one where they made the transition, you know, from the Mop Tops into a more serious musicians.
Well, you know, I liked it just because the word had a good backbeat. And as anybody who's been picking my bumper music knows, that's supreme with me. Give me a good backbeat and the rest of it, so you can read your grocery list over the song.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I have a connection, too. I had a psychic premonition in 1980 about John Lennon's passing from the planet, which sort of freaked me out.
No kidding. Now, have you had any others since then?
Oh, no. Basically, that was the transition, too. I was sort of, you know, heart was in some darkness and stuff, you know, from past abuse issues and stuff. But once you replace it with the love, like All You Need Is Love, it really does work because it sort of, you know, lightens you up a bit and you can take a deeper breath because we all have to breathe a little bit better. Wrong.
So you're living a Beatles life with this All You Need Is Love and stuff. And actually, I knew a guy who started once and it didn't last long, thank the Lord, an all Beatles radio format. And so, yes, I love the traffic reports by lovely Rita Metermaid, of course. But, you know, I guess it only goes to show that somebody would be living a Beatles life, and it's you.
Well, I think there's a lot of folks out there. Look at Harry Potter. He's sort of a conglomerate of a John Lennon type, you see, with the glasses and sort of the fearless attitude to go out where no person has gone out before, so to speak. Sorry, Star Trek.
All right. Well, good deal, Blair. Thank you for calling.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it. Lewis is in Louisiana. What's going on?
I'm just so pleased to hear you on Coast. I hadn't heard you before on Coast. I pick you up out of Nashville occasionally.
Great.
I think it's on Nashville. But my question had to deal with the Chinese complaining about our little problem with them poisoning
Yes.
them. And I'm curious as to why it wasn't an issue for them until 10 of their own people died. And then
took
action against the head of the FDA.
They executed him without a trial. But let me tell you, and unfortunately, this is a juicy topic, and I'm, of course, up against the clock. But their people were dying right and left, and they didn't care. In fact, the fact that they made the statement of there's nothing wrong with the antifreeze and the toothpaste, we've been using it for years. I mean, you know, their people could keel over and it was okay. They were just upset that it finally came to get us. Lewis, call me again. I'm sorry for the short shrift and wish that I could bend time. Maybe that's on another Coast to Coast show. I don't know. But certainly NDE's next hour and another half hour of your calls with Raleigh James on Coast to Coast AM. And we will be talking NDEs next hour, and I've got all sorts of questions as I look at that. But in the meantime, if you've got questions or comments, we'd love to hear from you. Every time I hear Ross do the rundown of the phone numbers, I have to laugh because I asked Art once about this. And I said, were you a fan of Herb Jepko? And he said, well, yes. And I, oh, so that's the deal with the phone numbers. Herb, of course, had back years ago on a Salt Lake City program in the 60s, had phone numbers for every few states. And to this day, I chuckle at the tri-state area of Washington, Oregon, and New Hampshire. I figured that they were doing it by call volume and not maps. Now, have you ever wondered who has the world's fastest broadband connection? Well, it turns out it's a 75-year-old woman in Stockholm. I know, you thought Bill Gates, Paul Allen, maybe Steve Jobs. Nope, nope, nope. It's Sigbrit Lothberg, who is now cruising the internet with a 40 gig per second average speed on her fiber optic connection. That's right. In less than 2 seconds, the woman can download a full-length movie, though she hasn't tried. Turns out that her son is a networking expert, and he, along with the head of the city network unit in Karlstad, got together and said, let's see if we can just do the fastest. And what they did was a different modulation technique, and they were able to send the data without transponders. And so 1,240 miles apart didn't matter, 40 gigs per second. Now, this is the part that'll really make you cry, because if you've been bogged down by slow speeds, here you go. She only uses it to read web-based newspapers. Now, at first I thought, well, that's a tad better than email, but I have a feeling that that our friend here, Sigbrit, hasn't yet mastered email. Now, while we're talking about, fastest, tallest, all those things, where's the world's tallest building? Well, you probably know, because there's been a lot of press on it, it's Taiwan's Taipei 101. But I mention that only because it's about to be trumped by Dubai Tower. That'll be the world's tallest at somewhere above 2,275 feet, 160 floors, 56 elevators, and they've been working at it for some time. If you're keeping track of it, of course, for years the Empire State Building atop the world at 1,250. Then in Shanghai, Jin Mao, 1381. Chicago Sears Tower came along at 1451. Malaysia's Petronas Towers, 1483. Then Taipei 101. And now, they won't be done with this. They've been working on it about 5 years. They won't be done with this for another year. But they promise that once done, people from 60 miles off will see the spire. They also aim to be number one, not only just in height, but structural top, highest occupied floor, rooftop, spire top, pinnacle, antenna, mast, and flagpole. Why? Because they could, but also because they want to emphasize what a world-class city Dubai is becoming. So you're wondering, who built this? Well, actually, nobody from Dubai. The architects and engineers are American. The building contractor, South Korean. The 4,000 laborers, they're Indian. All right, so we will check out, let's see, who's been hanging around? Pete in Las Vegas. Welcome to Coast to Coast AM.
Hey.
Hello, Pete.
Nobody cares who I am, and you came on the last hour with just a fabulous first half hour, but I'm kind of hoping you'll share a little bit about yourself and introduce yourself. Mm-hmm. A lot of us haven't heard you before.
Well, actually, the last time I was on Coast to Coast was about 7.5 years ago. But as far as radio, I got interested in radio as a kid. The Todd Storrs 1959 Disc Jockey Convention, the thing that spawned the Paola hearings, got my attention. I happened to be living in the hotel where the convention was held at the time. And I thought to myself, these people are having a lot more fun than the AMA, and you don't have to go to school. And so that started out my love affair with radio that has traversed over 30 cities. And mostly just radio-related jobs, though. I was radio editor for Billboard for a while. I did Charlie Rich's promotion material. I managed him during the Behind Closed Doors era. But other than that, been talking for over 20 years and talk Monday through Friday on my show. And it's interesting since you ask that because what we generally talk about are the political machinations and all of the things that get you crazy with elections and governments and all of that. And as I thought about it when I was going to be on tonight, I thought, when you really get down to it, there's an absolute connection between the political or geophysical events and the collective consciousness. And while I'm tackling normally the mundane, grosser manifestations, the reality is on Coast you can get down to the why, and it comes back to just simply that thoughts are things, and when it's collective consciousness, it manifests. So that's pretty much me. Any specific questions, I answer all. Don't ask me how old I am.
I think you'll be a fine addition to Coast. Welcome. And exactly where is high atop the Rocky Mountains?
Do you know where Glacier National Park is?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, so do I. I'm not far from that. All right. Well, thanks for calling. I appreciate it, Pete. So we will get to David and to Douglas and to Skeptical and Marcos and Bill and Mark. And hopefully I will not be quite as long-winded, and we'll try to get everybody in before we talk to the dead. All right, not exactly the dead, but how about those who were pretty much declared dead and came back to tell you where they went? So a lot going on tonight with Raleigh James right here on Coast to Coast AM. Is Raleigh James on Coast to Coast AM trying to, let's see, bend time is what I'm trying to do, actually, because I look at this and can we get six people into a couple minutes? All right, well, let's talk about bending time. Douglas is in Ohio. Hello, Douglas.
Hi, Raleigh. How are you?
All right, what part of Ohio?
Mansfield.
Oh, all right. Very good. Not far from Galleon.
Right. They had the big IndyCar 200 race today there.
Oh, that should have been great.
Which is next door.
Oh, good, yes.
Anyway, the story I have to tell you about bending time, which I experienced, was way back when I was in the Air Force, and I was working at a service club at Simbach Air Base in Germany. And as you know, my home area here in Ohio is in a different time zone than in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so... I was walking up the hill one day, and I was thinking about my old Aunt Minnie, who was in her either late 70s or early 80s. I can't quite remember just exactly how old she was.
Mm-hmm.
It's been so long ago. Anyway, I was wondering if she was still in good health and stuff like that, and I said to myself, I think I'll just find out. So I was closing my eyes as I walked up the hill, and I just sent out a mental projection. And all of a sudden, I saw her living room, her Siamese cat sitting on top of the sofa, and there was a lady that I hadn't seen before who was in dark hair, wearing glasses, and they were both chatting and having tea, and I could hear the conversation and stuff. And then all of a sudden, the lady whose face I could see, but my aunt had her back turned towards me, she said to my aunt, "You have the feeling we're being watched?" And my aunt said, "Yes, I do." And the cat had the same glowing, sphinx-like look it always had when I was there visiting my aunt, and it mm-hmm. always stared straight into me.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it was the way I made the connection was through that cat, you know, or something.
Oh, man.
I'm not sure how it happened.
Well, hopefully you didn't tell a lot of people at the moment, because they would have accused you of battle fatigue.
Right. But the only terrorists we were fighting over there at the time were the Bader Meinhof.
Right.
That's a whole other story. But anyway... I heard the conversation word for word, and this vision lasted for something like 5 minutes, and all of a sudden everything just went blank. And back when I got out of the Air Force and went back to home, I was walking down the street in my hometown of Loudonville one day, and I was walking on the same street where my aunt had lived.
Right.
And I ran into the woman on the sidewalk who was visiting my aunt that day.
Oh, man, I thought you were going to tell me that you saw a picture of them or something like that, but you actually ran into her. Now, how much older did she look when you ran into her?
She wasn't that much older, because this was only a space of a few months.
Oh, man.
After it happened. And I started talking to her, and I said, "You remember that day you were visiting my aunt? You guys were having tea together?" And then I recalled the conversation they were having. And she says, yes, that's exactly right, word for word. I says, I was the one that was watching you that day.
So I got to ask you one more thing about this, because, you know, most of us don't just in the middle of our otherwise day, somewhere between lunch and dinner, say, you know, I think just right now I'll put myself in another time and place. Had you been practicing?
That was the first time I ever actually attempted to do something like that.
Was it the last?
It was the last time it ever happened to me. Ooh. But the strange thing was, before that, I had a lot of psychic ability, but as the years have gone by, it just kind of comes and goes now, and it just doesn't happen very often. But every once in a while, I get something real happening, you know, or I know what's going to happen next, and it usually does.
Oh, man. All right. Well, we need you sometime if you get the urge that you know what the lottery numbers are going to be.
I wish I could figure that out. I'd be a multimillionaire.
I heard that. All right, Douglas, thanks for calling.
And thank you.
All right, let's see. What are we going to do here? I believe skeptical. And skeptical is only east of the Rockies. Well, that covers a lot of ground. Hey, skeptical, what's up?
Hi, Raleigh. I hope you didn't catch Coast to Coast last night, because this is going to go a lot better if you didn't hear the
Oh, really? Okay.
You didn't hear it. Tell me you didn't hear it.
Well, I didn't hear it.
Good, good. Because here's the situation. We have a woman who claims that she has 133 women providing fantasy dates for 10,000 clients in the Washington, D.C. area. She suddenly up and decides that now she lives in San Francisco. And she suddenly up and decides that she's going to retire from the business, sell her house, and move to Berlin. Now, here's the situation. San Francisco is the main entry point for Chinese spies. Washington is the spy capital of the world. And Berlin is the spy capital for both Soviet and Chinese spies right now. Now, she says, you know, she just wanted to retire. And we're supposed to think that, you know, this is all in innocence, and that she's hearing for the first time from some people that came to her lawyers that, you know, a lot of people get into trouble because intelligence agencies use prostitutes and this kind of thing to blackmail and control people.
I think we're talking about the D.C. madam here.
The D.C. madam, right.
Yeah, she's been in all the news, and frankly, when I first heard the story, I said, my God, who did she screw? And I didn't mean sexually. I don't know what this woman did, but what I can tell you is that it can be as simple as she got the attention and just ticked off the wrong person.
Well, look, with 10,000 clients, including among them this Senator Vitters, who is?
Oh, well, yeah, but he's, you know, every hooker in New Orleans is claiming, you know, carnal knowledge of him.
Oh, okay. Well, look, here's the big question, and you're just the right person to handle this.
I am? Oh, God. I'm...
Well, but no, because you're giving us a feminine point of view on this. And you are an experienced talk show host.
Oh, yeah. I'm glad I'm experienced at that, all right, and not where I thought you were going.
No, but here's the big question. Jesus says, you know, if you just look on a woman in lust, you've committed adultery. On the night that the D.C. madam comes on, we're hearing all over the news that Tammy Faye has been dead and buried, and we know what one night tryst did to her family and to the empire that she and her husband built. Look, and then we know from every normal female on earth how jealous they get when their husband even looks at another woman.
Okay, so are you thinking, that's an interesting point of view. It took you a while to get there, but are you thinking that maybe whatever set her up is the spouses of some of the clientele? That could be interesting.
My question is this. Shouldn't we psychologically begin to think that maybe there is some scientific basis for these moral positions? like, you know, not...
Oh, have you ever asked the wrong person? I was just mostly concerned, and I am concerned, again, because none of the girls, from what I understand, have been fingered in this, no pun intended, nor have any of the clients. So she lost her assets, and I understand she's up on criminal charges. And so my question here, because, again... She'd been doing this a long time, and she's not alone. Let's also say that. Yet here, she's completely behind the eight ball. So it seems to me, because if they were going to bust her as she was being a spy or she was courting spies who were doing stuff or whatever, we'd know about that. That'd be the headlines. So it seems to me that she crossed the wrong person in this, and she's going down for it. I have no idea who it might have been, and Lord knows I don't have any of the facts. But my first issue was not that this was instant karma from a moral standpoint, but instant karma from who did she not kowtow to that could bring her down?
Well, do you think that the Muslims have an edge on us here in that
No.
they have such strict rules in No. their society that they are protected from this kind of thing?
They don't follow them as a group any more than we do. Don't kid yourself. So, no, I don't think that the edges. But I enjoy your thinking. And, yes, yeah, skeptical. It's a great name. You call me again. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
All right. How about that? Yeah, I couldn't imagine where we were going. All right. Let's see. What else have we got here? Wild card is Marcus in British Columbia. Hey, Marcus, what's up?
Well, Lee, I want you to know that your gift of service does not fall on deaf ears. I have a message of love for all of our brothers and sisters in Iraq, on the Iraqi side and our side.
Yes.
There's no excuse for what's going on over there. We were made the most imperfect animal. The little things won't be right until... The big things won't be right until the little things are right. I mean, it seems like we can't control much over there, but if we throw seed... love around us here, it will ripple up out and it will affect the whole world. We have to stop thinking about what we can't change and make a difference in the little things in our everyday life, and everything will get better much quicker than we can imagine.
You know, that's actually true. That's actually true. Our collective consciousness is made up of our day-to-day mundane thoughts, and as a group, yeah, you betcha. It does influence a lot. Now, it's easier said than done. Just like people who will say to me, well, you know, I haven't been able to manifest in my life, but I've been given a lot of positive thoughts. And I say, okay. And in addition to the positive thoughts, how many have you dwelt on that it wouldn't happen or that you're worried that it happens? It's like mailing a letter and every day you go grab the letter back from the box so that it can't get to where it's going. So continual positive thoughts is something for which we should strive, but it's much easier said than done in terms of actually doing it. But Marcus, thank you for calling. Interesting thoughts. What do we got? Blake in Houston, welcome to Coast AM.
It's good to hear you again, Raleigh.
Thanks, Blake.
Somebody who has listened to you since all the way back when you were at KOA in Denver.
Yes, 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 you betcha. That's been over 20 years ago.
I got in the habit of listening to the evening show there when Alan Berg was there.
Yeah.
He kind of came in on the tails not too long after he was killed.
Well, that's right. I was the first live host, no pun intended in that either, to replace Alan. And I noticed, you probably did too, where David Lane, who was one of the people convicted for his murder, died in prison recently in Arkansas.
I actually didn't see that. I moved from Denver to Houston about 17 years ago, and it's been a long time since you've been on Coast to Coast.
It has, yes. In Earth years, right, and in radio years, my God, it's 100, but in Earth years and people years, about 7.5.
Well, I sometimes I think about the beach music and the wrestling
yes.
that you talked about when you were at KOA,
yes.
and maybe you need to introduce yourself to the people out there in the audience again, since it's been so long, when you
yeah.
get a few minutes tonight.
All right. Well, I appreciate the call. Well, thanks a lot, Blake. Yeah. Thank you. Yes, and for mentioning beach music, obviously a kindred spirit there. Yeah, so at some point in time, maybe we will talk about that. But for now, it's really interesting that NDEs are very easy to dismiss if you're a non-believer, because you say, oh, I don't believe that stuff. But what it means to somebody who does believe in them is maybe more than just proof. So we'll get to that and more coming up next hour on Coast to Coast AM.